And Krish has founded an organization called Home for Good. You can find out about it in the orange tent over there. It's to raise awareness of fostering and adoption, and especially to help churches to become places that are leading the way in terms of fostering and adopting children. So, Krish, thank you for coming to our sunny Riverside town today. We're really looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You are so faithful. Well done for coming out in weather like this. We really appreciate it. And well done, Marlo. You've done a fantastic job all week. Love the things you've been doing for Love Marlo. But Marlo, I have a challenge for you. I'm on a mission. Yesterday, I discovered who the fastest person in Tame was. We have an exercise bike set up in the orange tent just over there, and we're looking to find out who the fastest woman, child, or man here in Marlo is today. We're trying to get people to cycle a third of a mile this morning, because across the country, events like this are taking place in all sorts of weather, and we're trying to get people to walk, run, jog, or cycle 35,000 miles collectively. Because at the moment in the UK, there are 35,000 children that come into care each year. And so we're trying to cycle, run, or walk a mile for every child. So we'd love your help with that. Come and join us in with that in a minute. I've already found out that Dave from River Church is currently the fastest person here. And he set an incredible time of 25 seconds. And I'm a big fan of Dave. He is a foster carer. And I became a foster carer just a few years before Dave did. And what happened was, one of the kids that we looked after was brought to the head teacher's office. And he was told, he was 6 years old, and he was told that the teacher had some bad news for him, so he better sit down. So he sat down, and the teacher said, "Look, you're not going to be able to go home at the end of today." And he said, "Well, why not?" And the head teacher says, "Well, just things are not safe for you to be at home at the moment. So you're going to go with this lady. She's called a social worker. And she's going to take you to another family, and you're going to have a sleepover there. That other family is called a foster family." And the little six-year-old, he said, well, can I go home and say goodbye to mum and dad?" And the head teacher said, "No, I'm really sorry, you can't do that." "Well, can I say goodbye to my brother or my sister?" And they said, "Well, I'm really sorry, you can't say goodbye to them. Can I go and pet the family dog?" And they said, "We're really sorry, we can't let you go home." And so this little boy, he turned up at our house, and all he had was his lunchbox and his swimming kit. And he was shell-shocked, he didn't feel at home yet, and so we as a foster family need to do our best to make him feel like he was valuable, that he was in a safe place. He lived with us for about 10 months, and our church were just brilliant with him. He had ADHD off the scale, so if you were walking 100 metres with him, he'd ask you 20 questions. One of my favourite questions he asked me was, "Why tree?" Which didn't mean a lot to me, but it meant a lot to him. Why tree? Anyway, our church was great, looked after him. And at the end of the 10 months, I was driving him to go to his adopted family. And he suddenly twigged what was happening, that this was going to be his family forever. And so he said to me, "Chris, do you think it would be all right if I called this new family? Could I call them Mum and Dad?" And I said, "Yes, mate, of course you can." And you know what? It's really hard to drive a car when you're crying. I was really moved that this was a time this little lad really understood that he was going to have a forever family. There are loads of kids in the UK that need a forever family. We'd love to talk to you about that in our stand. Now, I don't know if you heard what Evelyn said when she was talking about Jesus. She said, "We serve a servant king." And I want to talk to you this morning about our servant queen. And our servant queen has some pretty amazing facts about her. So I've got three facts for you, and one of them is not true. Okay? And so I'm going to tell you the three facts, and I want you to guess which one isn't true. And you're going to have to talk to somebody near you to see if you can confer and decide which one is the untrue fact. So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, the first fact. The Queen has answered, in her time in office, 2.5 million pieces of correspondence, including 175 telegrams written to people who reached their 100th birthday. That's fact one. Fact two, the Queen is patron of 551 charities. Fact three, the Queen has raised £1.1 billion for charities. Okay, do you hear that? So have a little chat with your neighbour. Which one do you think is untrue? Number one, number two, number three. Number one, 2.5 million pieces of correspondence. Number two, she's the patron of 551 charities. Or number three, she's raised £1.1 billion for charity. Have a little chat and we'll do a little vote. Maybe we'll use umbrellas to vote. Okay, are you ready? Who thinks the first one, the Queen has answered 2.5 million pieces of correspondence, is not true? Okay, that's about a third of you. Okay, how about this one? Who thinks that the Queen is not the patron of 551 charities? Okay, that's a little few of you. And who thinks that the Queen has not raised £1.1 billion for charity? Yeah, well, the good news is you're all right, because all of them were untrue. So did you know the Queen has answered 3.5 million pieces of correspondence? And the Queen is the patron of 600 charities, and she's raised £1.5 billion so far for charities. I think that deserves a round of applause. For a 90-year-old woman who could probably have retired 30 years ago, she works a 40-hour week. She has 1,200 staff, but you know what? She feeds her own corgis. We really have an amazing woman. She's outlasted 12 presidents of the United States and 12 prime ministers in the UK. While she's been queen, there have been 200 coups and revolutions around the world. But there's something about our queen's stickability that is admirable. And our queen is not shy about talking about something that's at the core of her life, which is her faith. She's a convinced and convicted Christian. And so every year at Christmas, she gives a little speech, and it's rare for her to quote the Bible. But in 2011, she quoted the Bible. And actually, I'm going to read it to you. If you haven't already got a copy of this book, they're giving it away to you next to the Home for Good stand in the orange tent. And I'll read you the quote from it that I think is really interesting. And then I'll just have a few comments for you, and then we'll release you. So as she said in 2012, God sent his only son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. Our servant queen is a servant of her people, but actually she considers herself a servant of God as well. And that passage that she quoted from, God sent his only son to serve, not to be served, is from the Gospel of Mark that Anna read for us earlier. And in Mark chapter 10, there's a really embarrassing thing going on, because the disciples are arguing. They're arguing about who is going to be the most important person in the kingdom of heaven when Jesus is crowned king. They're having a full-on argument. And sometimes I get a bit discouraged reading about the disciples, because it feels like that the person that pulled them together is a little bit like the producer for The Apprentice. Do you ever watch The Apprentice? It's like they've gone out and found the stupidest people on the planet and made them into some kind of bizarre set of teams. And when you read about the disciples, they are always getting stuff wrong. You know, they're often saying the wrong things at the wrong time, or they're getting the wrong end of the stick, and they do it again here. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know we remember Muhammad Ali recently because of his recent death. And Muhammad Ali said something, you know, he said, if they can turn mouldy bread into penicillin, then they sure can make something significant out of you. And I kind of think, well, maybe there's something encouraging about the disciples. It's Jesus can turn a bunch of losers who wouldn't probably even qualify for The Apprentice into the kinds of men and women that can turn the world upside down. Maybe, and I'm pretty sure, God can do something amazing through you, and maybe even through me too. And so these disciples, they're arguing, and Jesus says, look, stop arguing. You've misunderstood what it means to be a great leader. He says this, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Have a go at saying that to your neighbour. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Have a go. You say it to your neighbour. Go on, once more, a bit louder. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You see, the kind of more wealthy you get in our world, the more we kind of demand stuff. You know, I'm a pretty bad person to live with after I've been on an aeroplane flight. I once got upgraded to first class. I've never paid for a first class. I'm always economy. And if they had economy, I'd be in it. But I once got upgraded to first class. And I milked it for the entire journey. My hand was on the buzzer for the entire journey. Bing! Can I have some cards? Bing! Can I have those kind of eye blinders? Bing! Can you bring me anything else that I can get for free by being first class? Bing! 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 And when I got home, I was kind of the same. Didn't make my wife very happy. I forgot that being a Christian is not about being served, it's about serving. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Now it's interesting that our Queen, of all the parts of the Bible she chose to quote, that's the bit that she wanted to focus the world's attention on, as millions of people watch her Christmas broadcast. The Queen understood that her life was supposed to be a life of service. Not just being waited on, but using her power to help other people. I think that's one of the reasons why she is so amazing as a leader. And we're so blessed to have her as a leader in our nation. And I wonder if someone were looking at your life, whether they would say the same thing. That your life is a life of service. Not living for your own agenda, but living for God's purposes in the world. That was how our family became a foster family. You see, I had all my plans laid out for the rest of my life. We had 3 kids in 3 years, and we were under 30. If you're not quite sure how that happens, Dave Ball from the Vicarage is willing to run little seminars about that. With diagrams and everything, so please see him at the end in the orange tent. But we had 3 kids in 3 years because I thought, you know what, when my kids leave home, I might be a bit sad. Hands up if your kids have left home. You do not look sad at all. You look wet, but you're not sad. I thought I was going to be really sad, but then I thought, you know what, if we can have all our kids close together, they might all leave together. And if they all leave together, then our empty nest could become a love nest again. Just me and the wife, you know, we could go on long walks along the river in Marno. We could go on those little day trips to Copenhagen. You know, we could have just long lie-ins on Saturday mornings. It would be amazing. And then my wife said to me, why don't we become foster parents? And I thought, that is a great idea for other people. Because that's going to spoil my plans. It isn't quite as romantic walking along the river in Marlow when you're pulling a scooter. Or it's not quite as fun going to Copenhagen when you've got a nappy sack with you. Why would we want to go back in time and do that? And then maybe some of these words from Mark's gospel challenged me. My life was not about being served, but it was about serving others. And kids in foster care are some of the most vulnerable kids our nation knows. 70% of them experience neglect or abuse. They need our love and attention. And so I was hooked, and it totally changed my life. One last challenge before I relinquish the microphone. The Queen didn't quite quote the whole of that passage in Mark 10. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The bit she missed out was this. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our servant queen serves a servant king. Jesus loved you and I enough, not just to serve us, but to serve us by dying for us. That is the heart of the Christian message. It's why we put crosses on top of our buildings and we wear them around our necks. Because Jesus served us by dying for us. And you might think, Chris, how does Jesus dying possibly serve anybody? One little illustration. my wife and I, we went on honeymoon to Thailand. This was 22 years ago. And imagine that we were walking along the beach and I said, "Darling, I love you. And to prove to you how much I love you, I'm now going to throw myself into the water and drown myself." Now, we'd only been married a couple of weeks, but I'm pretty sure my wife didn't think that would be a great act of love. I hadn't annoyed her that much by that time. It wouldn't make any sense if I were just to drown myself for no good reason. But let's imagine that we're in the sea in Thailand and we're swimming along. And it's my wife and I, and we're having a great time, but then we spot a fin. I don't mean a Finnish person, I mean the fin of a shark, and it's coming towards us. And I say, "Darling, you swim for the shore, and I'll take on the shark." And imagine that she makes it to the shore, and the shark makes it to me. And in some horrible honeymoon disaster, I get eaten, but my wife gets to live. I think if that had happened, my wife would know that I really did love her, didn't I? That I was willing to lay down my life that she could live. Friends, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us so that we could live. When Jesus died on the cross, all the sins of the world were upon him. He was offering us a way to be forgiven by God, to be loved by God, to be adopted into his family. And we as Christians, that's what we rejoice in. We celebrate that we're welcomed into God's family, not because we've been good, but because God's been good to us and let his son die for us. And now we want to live a life of service to him. Not that we could ever pay him back, but just that we might honour the one that loved us enough to die for us. So friends, today, at the 90th birthday of our Queen, we say, we salute you, Queen. Thank you for being a servant queen. And we say, we too would like to worship and serve the King that you follow. Thanks so much for listening. Have a fantastic day. I'd love to meet you in the Orange Tent a little bit later.
Brilliant. Let's show our appreciation to Krish. Come on, we can be louder than that, people. Let's let Marlo know.